M. Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. At the COP27 Climate Change Summit in Egypt, President Biden says new spending on clean energy initiatives has cemented his country's commitment to fighting global warming.
Thanks to the actions we've taken, I can stand here as President of the United States of America and say with confidence, the United States of America will meet our emissions targets by 2030.
The president discussed a new supplemental rule that will crack down on methane emissions, expanding on a similar regulation his administration released last year. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas.
Methane is 80 times more potent than carbon, and it accounts for nearly half of the net warming we're experiencing now. So cutting methane by at least 30% by 2030 can be our best chance.
U.S. commitment is some $375 billion over a decade to fight climate change. I'm Ed Donahue.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Only 17% of Native Americans continue their education after high school. One tribal college in Wisconsin is working hard to buck that trend. Mike Moen reports.
This fall, the College of Menominee Nation kicked off a year-long celebration as it observes its 30th anniversary. School President Christopher Caldwell says it's important to display how much of an asset the campus is to the community. He says part of that plays out in welcoming Indigenous students who didn't have a good experience in trying out a mainstream college or university.
And so they come back home, they might not have their degree, or they come back with debt.
Caldwell says schools like his closely work with these students, and he hopes their welcoming environment rubs off on mainstream campuses. He says places like CMN are also important because they can educate the community about a local tribe's history. This year's celebration coincides with the 50th anniversary of the Menominee Restoration Act of 1973. That policy reversed an earlier decision by Congress to terminate Menominee status as a federally recognized tribe. Caldwell says it's an important story to keep telling.
We really, as an academic institution, represent the intent of that act in all of the efforts of what our tribal nations look to do, which is to assert their sovereignty, their self-determination.
And he says they're working to revitalize traditional aspects of the Menominee language and culture. That coincides with similar efforts around the country to prevent Indigenous languages from going extinct as a number of tribes lose their elders. Caldwell says it's a key example of the role an institution like his can play and something other colleges can learn from. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And for Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You've got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it twice a day.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it in the morning and before dinner.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it, and share it with my doctor.
Nearly one in two U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in four easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor.
Now that I know my blood pressure numbers, I talked with my doctor. We're getting those numbers down.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Learn more at manageyourbp.org.
brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
I'm for today's STEM tip. Okay, you know recycling is important. No one wants plastic in the ocean. Here's a cool way to repurpose a plastic bottle. Build an awesome terrarium. Cut a large plastic bottle in half and fill the base with sand, pebbles, potting soil, and your favorite plant. I chose an African violet. Put the top of the bottle over your base and place it in the sun. Your plant will grow sealed in its own ecosystem. Fun, right? Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out DevilRadio927.com.
Wisconsin, you're listening to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw, with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Danielle,
hello.
What's happening?
Hello, hello.
It's good to be back. I'm excited. Man, I was in Florida and it was absolutely crazy. We shot three alligators. Ooh. One was 8'4", one was 8'6", and one was 9'1". But I have to tell you, the craziest, yeah, that's a big gator.
That is huge.
Yeah, we had like 70 pounds of meat off of that guy, and we just take the tail and the tenderloins. But I went iguana hunting.
My friend Brianna went iguana hunting. She got one, I think, was at least like 6 foot long.
Oh, yeah.
It was huge.
I have one at the taxidermist down there. Which
do you? Wait, from this past
from
week?
From this past weekend, yeah. Nice. I shot one that was about 6 feet long. I was showing the guys in the studio this earlier. And, man, that is a crazy experience. Because you're in canals in people's backyards, literally in people's backyards, and you're shooting them with a high-powered air gun out of trees and off their lawns because the people want them gone. They're an invasive species, and they dig into the ground and ruin, like, the culture on the sides of the dikes.
Yeah.
And so it was absolutely horrible, the damage that they do. So that was, I'm going to tell you, if you get a chance, get down there to Florida. You have to go to Southern Florida to do it and go iguana hunting. It is just a blast. Now, I don't know what they taste like yet, but no, I will.
That's definitely on my bucket list to do. And they look so beautiful, too, all the colors.
Yeah,
to me, they look beautiful.
Becky didn't think they were beautiful. No. She thought they were absolutely gross. But she only saw them like dead, being put into a trash bag. So
that's kind of how I feel about turkeys, though. Their face is disgusting, but their feathers
are
beautiful.
But they're still pretty. No, God,
their face is hideous.
Turkeys definitely have a majestic appeal to them. That's for sure. Man, we have an awesome show today. I'm jacked.
Me too.
There's a guy I met not too long ago, and I got to see some of the trophies that he has, and I'm talking about an entire room, like a man, like your dream man room, filled.
My dream man room?
Anybody's dream man room. Your dream,
my dream woman room.
Hey, isn't it 2022 and all those terms are like negotiable and you can use them across the board?
But so
call it your man room.
It is mean, and I like to argue.
So your woman room, your man room,
the man cave,
your cave, your lady shack, call it whatever you like.
Love shack, baby.
All right.
Okay.
How did it take us like 5 seconds? You know, the Kennedy clan's listening to us out in Oconomowoc right now.
And Robin loves me.
I know Robin loves you.
I love you, Robin.
I was talking to her. I shared her number or your number with her. I hope that's okay.
Nice.
And she's like, oh, Danielle. I'm like, she's not that great. For God's sake.
Danielle, come be my call. Okay.
Yeah, she's Robin's great. Calvin, what's happening? Calvin, I don't have you on my little screen today. Just so you know, I can't see your movements because you're not on my little screen.
Is he laughing?
Calvin? No. Calvin's very serious today.
Why are you being serious, Calvin?
Oh, there you are. Calvin, can you hear me? Calvin,
yes, I can hear you, Joel.
Aww.
You sound great.
Hey, man. Okay, look. We need to get serious, Danielle.
We need to go back to the Cabela's in this person's house. Yes.
So I go into... I meet a guy, Paul House. I'd like to actually call him a friend right away because we hit it off instantly. And he's got this man room, and it's filled with, no joke, it's got to have 30 bucks in it.
Ooh.
30 white-tailed deer bucks. And they're all like 160 or bigger. I've never seen anything like this. Like, if you took one of these bucks and put it in a house, like one of them, people would come in and say, that's the biggest buck I have ever seen. And it's like, you almost don't even get how huge they all are because they're all together and they're all massive. So I get to talking to the guy. And of course, he's got a history in outdoor television.
Oh.
And, you know,
kind of perfect for you, too.
It's perfect for you. Well, you co-hosted my television show, our television show here. And now I get the chance to work for The Fowl Life and Ted Nugent's Spirit of the Wild on the Outdoor Channel, which is awesome.
It is.
And so the man's name is Paul House, and he is like the deer whisperer. I'm not even kidding about that. Like, this guy has deer hunting down to a level I have never comprehended before.
I'm very excited.
And I can't even believe that I was able to convince him to come into the show today. Paul, welcome to 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw, Raised in Wisco with Joel and Danielle. It is so great to have you here because we are 2 days away from the Wisconsin gun season. The Orange Army's going to hit the woods and fields of the state of Wisconsin. And here you are right with us. And you brought your lovely wife, Tracy, with you. And we have Rob Brennecke in the studio as well with us. And Brennecke, we had a heck of a duck hunt this morning, didn't we? We had our limit of mallards in about an hour.
They had incredible. To be pretty with all the snow falling down.
Oh, my gosh. It was incredible.
I love winter hunts.
Paul, talk to me. Let me be your student. Be my mentor in deer hunting, because I have never seen anything like that. Welcome to the show. How did you get into deer hunting? How are you such a guru and so well-respected in the deer hunting community? How did you do a TV show? And how do you kill these giant deer?
Wait, do we have an antler Christmas tree?
No, I do not.
I want
but that
one really
will be
bad.
One thing that I will get to next. But I really appreciate you guys having me on the show. So yeah, a little background. I mean, I was pretty much born into the deer hunting. So my grandfather used to go up to Madeline Island and always hunt. And my dad and I would stay back home. And we would just hunt, you know, some farmers' properties that we had around the area in Jefferson County. And of course, you know, I was out since I was 3 years old. And I'll never forget the most memorable time when I was with my dad one day. I think I was about nine. He's like, hey, I'm going to take this hay bale. We're going to go sit out in the edge of this cornfield. I always watch these deer cross over the top of these roads, and they always head over into the adjoining marsh. So we're sitting there. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning, and we hear tires squealing. And my dad's like, somebody just locked the brakes up because a deer just crossed. And I'm like, no, you know, of course I'm young.
How old were you?
9 years old.
Okay.
And we're sitting
on the
edge.
Get them out there young. I love it.
We're like two rows into the edge of the corn facing north. All of a sudden I hear corn exploding and I turn around and look and this buck is coming at us like full bore and I start about filling my pants. I'm just like, and he's going to run us over. And my dad jumps up and he yells at the deer and it takes two bounds to the left. And my dad, it was only one shotgun barrel away, pulls the trigger and drops the buck. Well, here it was.
Wow.
The farmer who had locked the brakes up. He was driving down to go check on his other farm, and the buck had crossed. You know, it was whatever, 110,
that's
120
a heck of a
inches.
Story. That's how to start.
I was so hooked after that. I was just like, I mean, it scared the crap out of me, but having that experience.
That adrenaline. Doing it with your dad. I mean, does it get any better than that, really, as a young kid?
It doesn't. And from there, I was just hooked. And so we ended up, when I turned 12, unfortunately, that farmer would not let us hunt anymore. So we started hunting some public ground around there. And so my father put me up into a tree. It was opening morning, 12 years old. It was a big, huge oak tree on the edge of this bean field. And so he gave me 6 slugs and helped me get up into the tree. And he walked back into the public a little bit and, you know, maybe 100 yards or so. And this vehicle comes boiling down the road, and I see it hit its brakes, and I look down the edge of the field, and all I see is this freaking huge buck standing there.
And you're having deja vu.
This is right across the street, believe it or
not,
where we were.
Did you have a clean pair of pants after you hunted?
No, and we can even get into that when I started drinking. Hey, it really got worse when I got the legal age to drink. So this deer
pants fever.
Oh, yeah. So these idiots jump out of the vehicle, and they start blazing away at this buck from the road.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Not even kidding you. And the thing comes running right at me, and it is just boiling 100 miles an hour. Of course, I don't know, 200 yards, 300 yards, 500.
And you got a
12 years old
shotgun.
Oh, you know it. Two and three quarters Remington.
Slugs at that point.
Nope. So I start wailing away at this thing, and at the time, now we know it was 300-400 yards, and I'm shooting, and the deer's still running at me. And my last shell, and I shoot, and I see the thing stumble, and it comes right underneath my tree. I still got two slugs in my pocket because I had five shells. And it comes underneath the tree, and it gets his horns caught in the barbed wire fence underneath my tree. And I'm digging for these slugs, and I drop them both on the ground.
Oh, no.
So at this time, my dad turned around and started coming back at me.
My palms are sweating.
I know. This is making me nervous. Yeah.
So this buck ends up getting untangled. I'm about ready to throw my gun at it, you know, because I'm like, I got nothing left.
Tim Wells.
It runs through, and my dad sees it. He doesn't get a clean shot at it, crosses the road again, and goes into some other land. So we ended up following the blood, never found the deer. Aww. 3 days later, a gentleman my dad knew watched it cross the road, and I had hit it in the leg is what I did. And the guy said it was one of the biggest deer he's ever seen in his life. So that was my first opening morning, being able to hunt by myself at 12 years old. And needless to say, it was an experience I'll never forget it. That oak tree is still there to this day.
That's nice.
And so I actually told my my son Stevie the other day when we drove by, I told him about the story and stuff. So it was pretty interesting. But so that's how I kind of got into it. And then, you know, I kind of sort of drifted away for a while. I started my business when I was 20, doing concrete construction on my own. And then about 23 or so, for a couple of years there, I kind of got out of it. And then when I got 23, I really started to dig into the stuff. And in 1996, my father shot the number, which is now number two in Jefferson County. It was number one for a long time. And it grossed 199 3/8.
Holy cow.
As non-typical. As a typical, it's still number two today in Jefferson County. I think it's 178 and some change. So I was hunting. My dad had purchased a farm now at this time. I think we'd owned the farm for 3 years. And I remember sitting in the bow stand about 2 weeks earlier. And we had just put a bunch of the farm into a permanent set-aside program. Warm season grasses, scrapes all over. And the grass was only 18 inches tall. And I remember looking out in this field, and I remember this bush appearing, and I'm like, what in the heck is that? You know, and of course, back then, you know, I got Walmart binoculars, and I'm looking through it, and I'm cross-eyed.
Okay, freeze that story, because we have a commercial break coming up, and that's how fast this radio show will go. We're already done with a quarter of it. But when we come back, I want you to finish that story. Then I want to talk to you about the fact that the deer on your wall, any one of those deer is literally a buck of a lifetime for anybody, and you got a room full of bucks of a lifetime. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We got Paul House with us today, the Deer Whisperer. We'll be right back.
It's the Mad City Bridal Expo Sunday, November 20th at the DoubleTree Hotel on East Washington in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for free tickets at madcitybridalexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets also available at the door for just $10. Read all the details at madcitybridalexpo.com. Like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Bridal Expo Sunday, November 20th at the DoubleTree in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Let the music roll.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 28. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies tonight. Lows level off around 23. High temperatures reach up to 36. Tomorrow, sunny skies and calm. A blend of clouds and sun Tuesday with highs around 41. 45 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman coming to you live from the Fishbowl, downtown Waukesha, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. We got Robbie Brennecke in the studio sitting silently without a microphone by design. Tracy House is here, and Paul House, the star of the show, House Contractors. We'll give him a little plug there. If you ever need anything with your house taken care of, what a coincidence. Your name is House, and you take care of roofs on houses.
I feel like you guys need to have the Welcome to My House theme song.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. That's a great idea, as a matter of fact.
There House Contractors. She's the master of marketing.
H-A-U-S-Z, and he's a legit dude, so I'd love to throw him some business. So if you are out there and you need something done, look up House Contractors. Because I'm telling you what, they do a great job, and you got to look out because there's some sketchy cats out there, that's for sure. We went into the break talking about how Paul has become one of the quintessentially best deer hunters in the state of Wisconsin, probably in the Midwest, with the collection of deer he has and
yes,
the size
a few pictures,
and the patience. And this... and the hour's going to go like lightning round, Danielle.
It is.
I mean, for real.
Oh, I would believe it. Especially when they know how to talk.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking.
Thank you. Well, guests are always better when they talk.
They are.
Yeah, usually. I mean,
well, yes. Well, pantomimes don't work great on the radio. That's for sure. Paul, you were talking to us about your first experience and then, you know, getting into hunting, how you became a serious deer hunter. So pick up your story from there, from the break.
Yep. So so I see this bush, which I think has just appeared out of nowhere, and put my wonderful Walmart binoculars up, and I see this just gigantic buck, and he's actually on his knees, and he's crawling across this grass field, and I've never seen anything like it in my life. So fast forward 2 days later, I have an encounter with him, and he actually comes down this tree line, and actually when he was running, his literally head was bobbing back and forth. His antlers were so heavy. So I don't get a crack at him, get into the gun season. Some guys were driving some land back then, which was prevalent, and he had actually jumped the road on us, and he actually came back. They pushed him over. Long story short, my dad and his friend do a one-man drive, and my father ends up killing that deer that afternoon. So when I actually got my hands to look at that deer, I was so intrigued on the mass and just how incredible that God's creations are, and how does that animal get to be that big, and what does it take to do that? So that's when I started doing research and discovered QDMA. So at that point of my deer hunting career, it was food plots, it was controlling the doe herds. It was, you know, letting 3-4-year-old deer walk, which now I've gotten to the point where I'll let 5- and 6-year-old deer walk if I see the potential for them to get 7 years old. But, and it's been, I'm very blessed to have a wonderful wife that supports me, and we've, you know, bought some incredible properties together, and that's also very, very helpful. But you know, putting the time and effort into it. There's a lot that goes with it. Each individual buck is just like a, you know, it's just like humans, right? They have their own DNA. They have their own personalities. And trying to figure out what the personality is of that deer that you are targeting is very important, right? So you have some deer that are super nocturnal. In fact, the one I've been hunting now is like super nocturnal. You have some deer that run around, they'll cover 3-4 miles. You have some that are super daylighty. You have some that are kind of a mixed, and that's what you have to try to figure out. So once you get that age class, when you're hunting big mature whitetails, when everybody asks me, well, what's the, you know, what would you say is the biggest key to that? And I would say that there's one word that describes it, and that is patience. Big deer don't make they make very few mistakes. We are their biggest predator. You know, obviously you have coyotes and a few other things, but we are their predator. And when you get to that age class of 4, 5, and 6, 7-year-old deer, these deer are very in tune to their surroundings and they really know what's going on. So, you know, I've been lucky enough to figure out the deer's personality, figuring out their travel patterns, and being able to put myself in the right spot in order to harvest them. And but it takes a lot of hard work, you know, to get to that.
Yeah, you're not going to believe it, but we're running up against break again. But I want to know, and you can start telling us now, but I want to know, we'll go into after the break, when somebody, because we are about deer hunters, waterfowl hunters, turkey hunters, we are about proliferation of the species. We are the best conservationists in the outdoors, period. Hands Absolutely. Down. We spend the most money that is utilized by the government for conservation. We care about putting meat from the field to the table.
Yep.
That is an incredibly natural resource, organic resource. We have the responsibility and the ethics to understand that an animal born to be killed and served at the grocery store has much of a less of a free life than the animal that lives free its whole life and gets whacked one day
Absolutely.
And ends up on the table. Mm-hmm. So the sportsmen and women of the state of Wisconsin are by far the biggest conservationists and the most, if you really want to boil it down, the most ethical eaters, because we're eating a resource that we use our own effort to go harvest versus going to the store to eat an animal that was born in a cage and raised in a cage and turned into ground meat.
Absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with that. And thank God for farmers, or the vast majority of people wouldn't eat. Thank God for that. However, that's one of the reasons I love to see new hunters getting into the sport. But when we come back from the break, what I want to hear from you is, for someone who is not into it, what are the first things that they have to do? What do they need to do to start ushering in? Because there's a real hyperbolic curve when you start hunting.
Yes.
So I want to hear some of the things you do at the beginning. Then we're going to get into some of the more detailed things about what can make you a better hunter down the road. But I want to start out by talking about how to get into hunting, how to do it in a way that you may or may not be successful, but you're going to see things. Because part of one of the exciting ways to hunt and the things about hunting is what you see while you're there. You don't have to kill. Hunting, the more you do it, the longer you do it, is less about the kill and more about the experience.
It's all about God's creation. That's
no
the whole
doubt
thing.
About it. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We'll be right back on 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, The Shaw.
The Shaw, 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Phones, social media, you've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. Sources tell the AP the head of U.S. Customs and Border Protection is being forced out.
Chris Magnus tells the Los Angeles Times he's been asked to step down or face termination, and he's defending his record and says he won't resign. Two sources tell the Associated Press the move is part of a larger shakeup expected at the Department of Homeland Security. In the fiscal year that just ended September 30th, there was a 37% increase in the number of migrants stopped at the border, surpassing 2 million for the first time. It's more than twice the highest level during the Trump administration. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says special military units have entered the city of Kherson, hours after Russia said it had completed withdrawing troops from the city. Kherson is one of the first cities to be captured in the war in Ukraine. The withdrawal could act as a springboard for further Ukrainian advances into occupied territory. At the COP27 climate change summit in Egypt, President Biden says new spending on clean energy initiatives has cemented the country's commitment to fighting global warming. He spoke about a new supplemental rule that will crack down on methane emissions. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas that contributes significantly to global warming.
Methane is 80 times more potent than carbon, and it accounts for nearly half of the net warming we're experiencing now. So cutting methane by at least 30% by 2030 can be our best chance to keep within reach of 1.5 degrees Celsius target.
The U.S. has committed some $375 billion over a decade to fight climate change. Days after Election Day, Democrats are holding on to narrow leads in key Arizona contests. But the races for U.S. Senate and governor there are still too early to call. About a fifth of the total ballots are left to be counted in Arizona. I'm Ed Donahue, AP News.
You let him try violin because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Yeah, little Van Halen.
Joey Sandhager.
Oh, by the way, the best song by Van Halen. And I want to tell you, the Kennedy Clan was the inspiration for all of the songs today. Dan Kennedy really, really wanted the Michael Jackson and the Ricky Martin. So
I feel that's why we're all so upbeat right now.
I think so. Did you know that really Ricky Martin used to be in a band called Menudo?
Menudo.
Negative.
Yeah. Do you know what Menudo is? Menudo is a traditionally Mexican dish served for hangovers on Sundays. Ooh. It's made of tripe, honeycomb tripe from cows.
I could have used that today.
I love that stuff. Oh. I actually love it. I haven't drank for 10 years, but I still eat menudo. Huh. So, but a lot of people say I kind of act like I'm drunk when I'm sober. So that's fine.
People say that about me too.
That's fine.
Is this people why we get along?
It's probably why we've known each other for since you were like,
what?
18 years old, I
18?
Think.
18? Do you know how old I am,
Joel? No, I have no idea, Danielle. 25?
We've known each other for... Oh, I'm hugging you.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost 35.
Well, with permission, you're allowed to hug people now, so...
35, Joel.
With permission. You got to ask permission now to hug people.
Do you have to have a card for that? Yeah.
You do.
There's an app for that.
I got my hug card. Wait.
Speaking of app, you can listen to us on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, civicmedia.us.
We are blowing up. I just want to say...
We're all over Wisconsin.
Yeah. You know what? Check out the WAUK website, because we are now in like five different markets throughout the state. We're a statewide show, and we're going to be expanding from that, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think Raised in Wisco really fills a niche. We don't stick to just hunting, but we talk about things that are real to real people, real Wisconsinites, getting outside and enjoying the outdoors mm-hmm. and everything you do in the outdoors of Wisconsin. Because if you live in this state and you don't participate in the outdoors or utilize the outdoors, you are missing the vast majority of what this state has to offer. It really is a hidden gem.
Like, I know you travel all over the world.
I do.
For all this, but I'm not necessarily local, but I'm Florida, Arkansas, Maine, North Dakota, like, you know, here.
Yeah.
And I've always loved coming back here. I lived in Arkansas. It was beautiful, but man, did I miss Wisconsin. Same with Florida. I'm like, nope. Back to Wisconsin.
Every time I come back, even when I travel abroad, I just had an awesome trip. Hunting red stag in Spain. That was a really great experience.
Wow.
It was fantastic. But every time you go somewhere, I'm not joking about this. If you ever, ever, ever have a doubt about the United States of America being the greatest country on earth, travel somewhere else, because you want to kiss the ground when you come back every time. The freedoms we enjoy here and the way we govern ourselves compared to the rest of the world is unbelievable. That's why people who say, who are down on this country don't understand. You spend time anywhere else in the world, you will be yearning to come back. And if you don't yearn to come back, then stay there. That's my opinion.
We don't need you here then.
Yep, I agree.
So, Paul House, the Deer Whisperer, has joined us today. I mean, his history in deer hunting is prolific. He's been on television shows. He's got a collection of deer, and he says patience is the key to killing big deer. But I want to talk to you about what someone does who is new to hunting. What are the first things they should learn? What are the first ways they should attack deer hunting if they want to be successful? Give us, you know, learning curve advice, and tell me, how does somebody, I mean, you were really fortunate. You were out there at 9 years old with your dad.
Correct. Yes.
I didn't start hunting till I was 38, and then I became obsessed. Then I quit drinking, so it became my drug.
Yes.
It still is today. And I want to know what somebody can do, because for me, it was a real steep learning curve at age 38, and now it's a large portion of my life, a huge portion. Yep. Outside of the enjoyment of my family, hunting is the most important thing to me in the world. So how can somebody get into it? What are the first things they should learn? What are some trade secrets to become a good hunter from the get-go?
Well, I think with all the resources that we have at our fingertips, you know, one of the most wealthiest, smartest gentlemen in the United States said that YouTube is some of the best teachers on the planet. You know, being able to look through doing your own research, stuff like that, just giving all of these other aspects of everybody, putting together, is very helpful to be able to do your homework at home. You know, there have a lot of beautiful public hunting grounds in Wisconsin, and
a lot.
If you can spend some time on Google Earth or Onyx Hunt Maps, looking at these places, you know, looking for areas where, you know, let's just say you're going to go to a piece of property you've never been, you're going to want to, you know, check your wind directions, always walk into your stand with the face, you know, with the wind to your face. Rule number one. And you find areas that look like, you know, funnels or you know, during the rut, things that are narrowing down where these deer are going to travel, creek bottoms. You know, field edges are devil's advocate. Just because.
What do you mean by that?
Because, you know, field edges can be places where bucks will travel, they'll scrape, they'll look for does. But the problem is, anytime you hunt a field edge, you know, especially getting into the evening, then you have to expose yourself to the deer. And you can't sit in the tree stand until the next day, so you're going to have to get in and out of there. And that's one of the biggest mistakes that I see with hunters, is they go in and they'll sit in a tree stand and it'll be shooting time, they unload their gun and their patience wear out and down they go and they blow the deer out of the field. Well, you can get away with that once, but you know, you blow a big buck out once, you're going to be dang lucky if you see him again. He'll figure that stuff out pretty quick. So,
you know, it's really that important to walk into the wind when you're walking it.
Oh, absolutely. Access, out of all the things that I do, access is the most important thing that I have to get in and out of my stands. I will not, it's been chewing. In fact, Robbie knows this because he was in the office. We were going through a bunch of paperwork and stuff, and I'm just about chewing my fingers off because I got the wrong winds. I know I can't go into my stand, and I know that I know the deer that I'm hunting's there. But I just won't risk it. I pace back and forth, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, should I risk it? Should I risk it? But I always, make the decision of not to, because it just takes that one time. And most of the time, you won't even know that big deer has discovered you. Very, very seldom. Mm. They're so smart.
I always wonder that coming in. I always wonder if there's deer ditching out that I never know about because
all
they know.
All the time.
I hate when you walk into your stand, and all of a sudden your trail camera goes off right in front of your stand. Yep. And like, oh, I was coming to, hunt you, but okay, leave.
All the time. Yep. You're blown. I mean, bucks do not blow. Very seldom do they blow. Do they snort? Believe it or not, I mean, a 300-pound deer, you can't even hear them. They'll take off, and you won't even hear them. So, because they're sensing you. I mean, they know when you walk in, it's super important to walk slowly and take 3 or 4 steps and stop. I mean, if you just haul and tail, they know that it's not natural. So there's all these things to get in and out of your access points and using topography for that benefit. I mean, I even go so far to leave up corn or plant green screen or something like that to be able to access my stands where they can't see me.
What is green screen?
It's a 12-foot tall sorghum that I'll plant. So, we leave that stuff up and we can sneak right to our tree stands and they don't see. I mean, they can be standing in the, field. So, obviously, you can't always have everything perfect, but taking that into consideration most of the time will help your success quite a bit. And like I said, I mean, if you're in a tree stand and there's deer in the field, call your buddy, have him come pick you up or whatever. It's better to blow them out with a vehicle than it is for you to actually get out of your
stand. Because they remember that. They'll see that, remember you.
Oh, yeah.
You're explaining all these things that are, it's crazy to me because these are all things that the average person doesn't even think of walking into a stand. A lot of times I've hightailed instead of walking slowly because I think the quicker I get in, the better.
I hold my breath.
I hope I hunt next to your land.
I hold my breath.
See what I mean?
All the time walking in, and I realize
and
I'm holding my breath.
And I'm wondering why I don't have a 160 on the wall. Yeah, exactly. Daniel,
if I hold my breath, I walk quieter. It's obvious.
Yeah, well, you might end up passing out and being like lying in the field on the way to the stand that way too. How important is mentorship?
Very important, and I think that's the biggest thing. And I watch, I watch these social media pages and stuff, and I don't really interact. But I mean, I get all these guys. They're, oh, you're hunting with a crossbow. You're this or you're that, and it's like everybody in our community. It's like the deer and the animals are the most important thing. If you feel that using a crossbow or whatever weapon of your choice is going to put a lethal, shot and kill that animal, it's all about the animal, instead of these guys that are out there, complaining about the stuff and getting these kids, they don't need to see that, right? Or right. Anybody getting into hunting for that matter, right? We all need to support each other. And, I shoot a crossbow. They're all tools of the trade. Sometimes I shoot my bow. Sometimes I shoot my crossbow. Depends on, what stand I'm going into. Like late season, I use my crossbow all the time.
Where your lanes are,
all that stuff. Sometimes my tree I can't. So that's frustrating to me. I see that all the time.
I think you just honestly hit it on the head. Nothing infuriates me more than when you go on Facebook and you see these groups that are whitetail hunting groups or waterfowl hunting groups, and somebody posts something and then 20 people bitch about it. It drives me mad.
Everybody has something to be upset about.
Because these groups, and if you're new to hunting, you're going to make mistakes. It's part of the joy of hunting is making the mistake, learning from it, and harvesting the animal next time.
I make mistakes every time I'm in the woods.
And so you go on these sites, and you're kind of bearing your soul a little bit. You're opening yourself up a little bit.
Yep.
And then you just get hammered. It is hard. So social media drives me absolutely bonkers because what we do is you got these basement warriors,
keyboard cowboys, I call them,
in their underpants, and they are they have absolutely no life.
Yep, they're hung like a field
all
mouse.
They want, well, yeah. I don't think you can say that on the radio. Like a,
they got, yeah.
But they go. They're all they. All they want to do is just attack you.
Yeah,
it drives me mad.
I'm with
and
you.
It is so counterintuitive to growing new hunters, growing people into the outdoors. I can't tell you. I say I take new hunters all the time. That's one of my biggest joys in life. Take new hunters turkey hunting. I've taken them deer hunting, waterfowl hunting. And everyone's like, oh, you love taking the kids, huh? I can't tell you how many of the new hunters I take are adults, full-blown adults.
Yes. Yeah.
The largest growing segment of the outdoor users in Wisconsin is women age 18 to 35. I have taken wives of friends of mine, mm-hmm. wives or friends of my wife. For the first time, some of the greatest experiences I have ever had have been literally with middle-aged people who have never held a firearm in the outdoors, and they harvest a turkey, and they are out of their mind.
Yep.
And the first thing they do every time they shoot when that turkey's dead, and I will say women are way better shots than men. I'm just going to put that out.
They're
1,000 times better shots
way
than
better.
Men. Because men are, you know, often like jerking the gun around and, you know, I'll get there. Bang, bang, bang. And women.
Ego takes over.
Our ego takes over. Yeah. It looks like you're out there. You're not out there with like it was a fully automatic AK-47 or anything. I mean, and the women I've taken, they're methodical and thought out, and they listen, and they're just better hunters at the beginning, and they're better shooters. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not trying to, you know, say men don't get into it if you don't, but giving people the opportunity to get out in the woods mm-hmm. without the attacks, and social media has just absolutely destroyed our inclusive spirit in
and
this country.
I started to not post what I harvest just because I know people are always going to say this about that, how I did it wrong, why am I doing this right? Like, stop questioning me. And then when I tell them like in person, well, you didn't share it, so it obviously didn't happen.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
sorry, what?
Picture it didn't happen. Yeah. How often do you hear that?
And I'm like, really? Calm down.
I mean, we're a little bit off topic here, but that's okay. No, it's okay. It's okay because I want you to know if you're out there and you want to become a hunter, you want to become a fisherman or an angler, don't be afraid of the critics because mm-hmm. they're never getting out there. Exactly. They're sitting in their basement and they're never getting out there. So don't listen to the critics.
They're
get out there.
Talk. Might as well
make
get
your mistakes.
Good to talk about.
And if you shoot a four-corn buck and you're proud of it and it was the greatest experience of your life, there's nobody who should tell you that that's not an absolute trophy.
People make fun of me for having face paint all the time.
Yeah, but face paint is cool.
I really like it.
We all got to be sportsmen to support each other.
We've got one segment left. I don't even know what we're going to talk about. We're going to have Paul back soon. But we got one segment left. We're going to wrap things up on WAUK.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 28. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies tonight. Lows level off around 23. High temperatures reach up to 36. Tomorrow, sunny skies and calm. A blend of clouds and sun Tuesday with highs around 41. 45 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Hands by the greatest band of all time, Styx.
Yeah,
greatest band. Danielle's like, I never heard of Styx.
Pick up Styx, the game?
No, this is too much time on my... You could let it play for a little behind us if you want, Kevin.
That did the robot thing.
It's so good. The ongoing debate, who is better, Tommy Shaw or Dennis DeYoung? And I saw both of them in concert singing. And I have to say, I think it's a full-scale toss-up. They were both so good. Underestimated, awesome band from the 80s and 90s, though, Styx. Oh, yeah. They are awesome.
Absolutely.
I wish I could partake in this conversation, but...
That's okay.
I just bought George Strait tickets for my
birthday. You'd have to have listened to an album that was before 1998, Danielle.
I was 10.
That was actually vinyl.
It was actually vinyl at the time. No, I think it might have been cassette.
Oh, maybe we got maybe up that
maybe
far.
Maybe it was that far that we had cassette.
8-track.
Paul House is in the house.
Welcome to
you
my
never hear
house.
That, I bet, huh?
Never. Hurts on the house.
You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We got a packed studio. We've had a packed studio a lot lately. Robbie Brennecke is here. Tracy House is here. Paul House, master of all things whitetail and definitely the deer whisperer.
The man, the myth, the legend.
I want to talk to you about now. What's so cool about today is that we're 2 days away from the opening of the gun deer season in Wisconsin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
And when you ask an average person in the state of Wisconsin, are you a hunter? They will answer, honestly, they will answer that question based on one thing. Most people, 95% of people you ask, are you a hunter? They'll say yes. And when they say yes, what they mean is they go hunting during the gun deer season. Well, that's a separate thing. What they actually do at deer camp is
God only knows. We do not want to know.
Because
some of the guns never come out of the case all week.
I mean, I think it's fantastic when you go home and then whoever else is at your house, because, and I was going to say, you know, the wife, but it's not, I mean,
widow's weekend,
but that's not the case anymore. I mean, women hunters are hunting.
Yes, you're correct. Correct.
As much as men, but you come home and your blaze orange doesn't have a speck of dirt on it or a piece of bark because it never left the suitcase. But when you ask people if they're a hunter and they say, yes, they're a hunter, 90% of the time they mean they go out for the gun deer season. Mm-hmm. In Wisconsin, we have 600,000 people who enter the woods and fields of Wisconsin on opening day.
That's why China will never come to Wisconsin.
That's 600 people. Yeah, we do kind of, and they call it the Orange Army.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's because the heritage in Wisconsin takes people who really don't consider themselves, you know, diehard hunters, but they get out for that deer hunting season.
Absolutely.
The gun deer season. Great sales at Fleet Farm, too.
It is. It is.
It's a huge, yes, it is a very, very huge industry, and it really helps all the local bars and all the restaurants.
Oh, it definitely
does. It's fantastic.
Super awesome.
I am one of those diehard hunters, and I'll be honest with you. My brother-in-law, for example, he's going out. He's like, well, he's from the South. That's the Southern accent. Well, if I go out, I'll be out with my bow. And I'm just like, okay, that's cool. You know, but you get those people who say, like, the true sport of hunting deer, hunting whitetails, is with archery equipment of some sort. And I have no problem with that. You wouldn't exercise that. We have lesser weapons in Wisconsin, so you can use you can use archery. You can use a blowgun. You can't really use a blowgun. I'm just kidding. But you can use archery equipment during the gun season. You can use muzzleloader during the gun season. But my question to Paul is, what changes from your perspective as a seasoned hunter What is the difference? What are you doing different to prepare? What are you doing different to get in the stand? What are you doing differently when you are going from the bow season to the gun season? What is the big difference there? If you have been pursuing them with a bow and now it's the gun season, what changes?
Well, for me, it just depends. I mean, like I said, I'm a tool of the trade. So, I mean, I will sometimes still use my crossbow. But as far as like my tactics and stuff, usually we get in this time of the year.
Yes, what tactics change for you when you hit the gun season?
Well, usually we're into what we call the lockdown period. That's the time where all the mature bucks and most of the bucks are in courtship. And they're really holding super tight
to
cover.
It sounds so romantic.
It does. It made me smile.
Yeah. Strangers in the night.
It's not courtship when they walk out in front of my weapon.
What could be the flight? That's my little Sinatra. That's about it, though.
That's it.
For now. Well, unless we hit karaoke later.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I say far with
karaoke. That's funny.
You can still serenade me.
I'm the only person who will sing karaoke stone sober. I'll do it.
Oh, my friend Amy Belsky will get you.
I will kill Coming to America by Neil Diamond. Absolutely wreck it.
I will challenge you this is going to happen. We'll go Facebook Live about it.
Well, okay, Paul and Tracy have to come.
Okay.
All right.
Go back.
Come to yourself.
That's all right,
I regress.
So usually this time of the year, I'm really, really focused on doe bedding areas, right? And I do sometimes even the playing field, as much as I love to chase them with archery equipment and crossbow, I will sometimes level the playing field, which I might do that this year. But, you know, it's just focusing on those areas. You know, most hunters are, you know, in and out of the woods. They go in at, you know, hour before sunup, half an hour, whatever. They come out at 9. I see a lot of deer movement between 10 and 2. And so the guys that are sitting all day, you know, everybody's in and out and they're walking all over the property. So they're moving deer around. And after the second, third day, those deer know where to go. I mean, they're not stupid. They go through this every single year. You know, the first day or two, it's going to be super cold. Them deer are going to have to get up and feed. So they're probably starting to shift to them bedding areas that are closer to their food sources. You know, we get into the low teens.
Because it seems like opening day you see deer and then boom, nothing.
Ghost
for
town.
7 days.
And ghost that's town. That, yep. And that's that lockdown period. So typically Thanksgiving, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I don't remember ever shooting a good deer on opening weekend ever. In fact, it's usually Thanksgiving, Friday, Saturday. You
really?
Know. Yeah.
So get back out there on the second half of the gun season.
Yeah, most
so treat
it. Can we start shooting the doe now, though?
Do you have to treat it as carefully with
later.
Wind and scent and everything like that?
Oh, absolutely.
You
but
do.
90% of the people throw that out the window because they think,
right?
Oh, well, I've got a rifle in my hand. I can reach out and touch them. But no, you're still hunting the same deer.
Well, and
you're
I'm
still hunting
tell
the same
what,
way.
A lot of people don't realize a rifle is not a shotgun. You are throwing one bullet.
Yes.
And you've got to be awfully accurate with that one bullet to make an ethical shot on
yes.
an animal. Yeah, for
wow.
real. The show's over. Yes, folks. Kennedy Clan out in Oconomowoc. The music was dedicated to you. Paul House, the
thank
man.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for having me. And good luck to everybody
such
this weekend.
Such a great guest.
Yeah,
he is going to be back with us the week after Thanksgiving. Next week on Thanksgiving, we've got a highlight show to bring you. And then Paul House is going to come back. Tracy House, thank you for joining us today. Rob Brennecke, you're the man. You have been listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman on 540 AM WAUK 101. On FM The Shaw. We'll see you soon. Be safe in the woods. Get that buck.
Too much time on my.
That's it. That was the fastest hour that I've ever had.
My husband said to give our house more curb appeal, so I started painting. Then I went on Google and looked up the meaning of curb appeal. It said to make it more nicer. So I called Replacement Window Center, and they put in new replacement windows.
Get free installation and 0% financing for 18 months. Free installation and 0% financing. Hurry, call now.
Replacement Window Center. Our name says it all.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country. in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library.